The following program is sponsored by Benveo.
This is Mind Your Business with Dr. Mark Lewandowski on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Spreading the excitement of entrepreneurial growth all over Oklahoma.
Whether you want to start a business or grow a business, Dr. Mark is your go-to expert.
This show is all about you, and it starts right now.
On News 102.3 KRMG.
Hello, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This is the show that's all about you, the entrepreneur in the state of Oklahoma doing amazing things. I want to thank you, the entrepreneur, who you are the ones that are out on the front line hiring people, serving people, making an impact on your community and on your industry. And I think you are very, very special. I also want to do a shout out today for those people that listen that are employed by someone else. You are the entrepreneur, the person within an organization that is doing something special within your scope of control. You are running a department, running a team. Maybe you manage a complete site within the organization, and you're trying to find ways to improve, to be better, to be a more effective and impactful leader. And I want to say thank you to you for listening to the show. This is going to be an exciting show because today we're going to talk about significance. We're going to talk about this very important word that means what are we doing with not only our day, but our week, our month, our life, our career. Are we making an impact not only on the customers we serve, but on the society and the community in which we live? But before we talk about that, we're going to talk about significance in just a moment. I want to say a special thank you to our host, Benveo. Benveo is our sponsor, and they have been our sponsor for the last year. They're an amazing organization. So many people don't understand exactly what a third-party administrator does, but they provide healthcare solutions for employers like you and like myself, and they provide it in a very creative and innovative way. You know, this show is about entrepreneurship, but it's also about innovation. And Benveo is one of those innovative organizations that finds very creative ways to provide unique solutions in healthcare, and that's innovation. You know, today in our healthcare industry, we're finding that the rate of the cost is going up at about 19.5% per year. That is an alarming increase. And if we don't do something creatively to turn that, we're going to find ourselves not able to afford healthcare services. There are so many entrepreneurs I talk to that just cannot afford right now to provide healthcare for their employees. They're frustrated with it because attracting and keeping high quality, very effective employees is important to those of us who are trying to run businesses. And so innovation is important in our ability to provide benefits long-term to our employees. And I want to say thank you to Benveo. They've been amazing at providing unique solutions for companies like myself and for a host of other companies in Oklahoma and around the nation. So thank you to Jonathan and the team at Benveo for the work that you do. So today, I want to talk a little bit about significance. Significance is important because it means that what we do every day goes far beyond profit. Now, I don't want to minimize profit because without profit, we can't do any of these great things. Without profit, we can't serve our customers to the full extent of our capacity. Without profit, we can't feed our families. We can't pay our employees. We can't pay the bills. So I don't want to minimize profit. What I want to do is I want to say that there's really a balance between profit and significance. You know, I had the great opportunity to spend a couple of years at Stanford in their D school. And the D school, which is their design school, is where so many of the great ideas that we experience all the time, things like Salesforce and PayPal, and these kinds of companies that come out of the Stanford D school. The D school is very unique in that it's like some of the very elite schools where they're focused constantly on a dual bottom line. They're looking always at, can I make a profit and can I make an impact on my society? You know, most of us, when we think about a dual bottom line, we think about companies like Tom's Shoes. They were really one of the first to jump out there and make a strong and definitive statement that says, if you buy a pair of our shoes, we're also going to send another pair of shoes to a developing nation where kids can't afford shoes or adults can't afford shoes. And they used their success in the marketplace as leverage to be successful in their philanthropic endeavors. I want to talk about another one you might not have heard of. There's a company out of Nairobi, Kenya called Delight. And Delight makes solar paneled lighting systems for homes all over the world that are off the electric grid. As an example, in Africa, 84% of all Africans live in communities that are off the electric grid. In other words, they have no electricity because there lacks the infrastructure to have the grids and the power, the cables and the lines and the poles and all of the infrastructure to create electricity way out into the remote areas. So they have to rely on other sources of power, and the majority of them rely on kerosene. They burn kerosene in their homes to create power and electricity at night. Now, those of you that know much about kerosene, you know those fumes are toxic. So this organization, Delight, as a developmental project in the D school, said, what if we were to provide solar paneled lighting systems all over Africa for homes, individual homes, and we could eliminate the burning of kerosene? What would that do? Well, it would help children. That not only would children be able to study later in the evening and read in the winter hours when it gets dark early, but they wouldn't be burning and smelling and inhaling those toxic fumes. So here's an organization that not only tracks their profitability, but they track how many people are impacted by not having to burn kerosene and how many students are now advancing beyond primary school into high school and into after high school, either college programs or additional training programs to better their lives. That's part of what significance is. Significance is really looking at two things. It's looking at profitability and can I impact other people while I'm doing that? So many entrepreneurs say, well, Mark, I really think that we should use our own personal dollars to give. And I understand that because in Oklahoma, we are known in the state of Oklahoma as a very philanthropic and charitable community. We give to churches. We give to organizations. I know there are a lot of organizations that feed the hungry and clothe people that are cold. We have a great need in Oklahoma, and our people are doing a marvelous job taking care of that need. However, I want to talk to you about understanding the importance of philanthropic activities within your company as part of something you endorse and promote. I hire a lot of millennials, and millennials are extremely intelligent people. This is a young generation that you and I have raised. We put them in the very best schools. If you think about all over the state of Oklahoma, there are good schools everywhere. I know that we're fighting right now over proper amounts of funding, but we're doing a great job educating our young talent. But not only do we educate them, they're learning on tools that they hold in their hand. These are very, very intelligent young people, but they're also distracted. They're used to looking at educational bites in 40 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes. And so they're very distracted. They bounce around from idea to idea. And one of the things that we're experiencing as employers in our community is not only do they bounce around in the way that they think about life, they also bounce from job to job to job. I look at a lot of resumes for millennials, and I'll see that they'll have 6 jobs in 3 years. And that really frustrates me because I know that that means I'm going to spend a lot of money training them, getting them ready, only for them to be distracted and move on. Let's talk just a moment at the cost of turnover. We call it frictionality in the labor force. The cost of turnover, we hire recruiters, we put out ads, we hire people, we bring them in, we train them, and just at the time they're starting to be profitable for us, the entrepreneur, they leave. They find something else a little more exciting. And I propose to you that if you were to deploy some kind of philanthropic activity within the organization that gathers people together, that rallies your employees together under a goal that's beyond profit, but it's a contribution to society. You're going to find less frictionality in your labor force. You're going to find people that want to stick to you. We call it stickiness. How many things we can do to create a desire of our employees to stay with the organization. If you can leverage your activities in a philanthropic activity to draw your employees together, you're going to find that people want to stay with you longer. And research tells us that they're more impactful. They do a better job at work because they're doing something great. Today's workforce wants to be a part of something significant. You know, many times when we hire an employee, we put them as a staff accountant, and they're monitoring finances, they're paying bills, they're looking at accounts receivable or accounts payable, and their job just isn't that exciting. Give them something more exciting to do. Today, we're going to be talking about that because we've got a very special guest. We've got a guest that is the chief executive officer of the Make-A-Wish Foundation for the state of Oklahoma, an amazing person that helps find ways for organizations like mine and yours to rally their team together and to sponsor a wish. We're going to be talking about that because I think that significance as a part of your organization is very important. We're going to have that special guest when we come back from our break. This is the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. You're listening to KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. This is the show that's all about you, the entrepreneur in the state of Oklahoma doing amazing things. I want to do a shout out to all of you entrepreneurs. You know, I just found out that Tulsa was ranked the number one most giving city in the United States. It is no shock to me, but I bet it's going to be a shock to America. I bet people in New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia and Miami and Los Angeles and Dallas are all going to say, Tulsa, Oklahoma, what the heck are you talking about? The most giving. You know, I was at a fundraiser not long, about a week and a half ago, and the executive director of that fundraiser was on our show, and many of you have heard it, and it was the Tulsa Girls Art School, and the amount of people that filled that room and supported the endeavors of the girls at the Tulsa Girls Art School was amazing. It was outstanding. And I want to say to those of you like me who are entrepreneurs, who are raising money through your company, you're engaging your employees to raise money and do something great. Thank you for that. Before we get started with our guest today, which is a very special guest, I want to remind us that as entrepreneurs and as business leaders, that today's workforce wants to do something greater than just collect the check. Today's workforce wants to be engaged. They want to do something. They want their work to count. You know, let's say that their work is simple and that their role within the organization is really part of what we call the blocking and tackling. Well, many times the employee, if they don't see that their efforts are part of something greater than themselves or greater than just getting a product out the door or maybe a service or maybe answering the call and handling a customer complaint, they will go find somebody else who will make their life great. So I want to really do a shout out to all the entrepreneurs who are engaged deeply in our city, in our community, in our state. And it's with that in mind, with that thank you out to you, that I want to introduce my special guest and my friend, Brad Bargles. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Brad is my friend. Brad is the president CEO of the Oklahoma Make-A-Wish Foundation. He has got quite a job. Brad, for those of us out there in the listening community that don't know a whole lot about Make-A-Wish, tell us in just a couple of minutes, tell me about Make-A-Wish. If I was in an elevator trapped with you and I said, what do you do for a living? And you said, well, I'm the executive director, or I'm the chief executive officer of Make-A-Wish. And I said, I don't know much about it. What would you say?
I'd start with the two big misperceptions. One is that these wishes are last wishes. A lot of people say, I couldn't do what you do. It's too sad. And most of our cases end well. A lot of our cases end well. So I'd want them to know that sometimes a wish marks the end of a treatment and the beginning of a celebration, a start to a new chapter in their life, a finish line for a chemo regimen. There's a lot of joy in wish world. So I want people to think happy thoughts and think Make-A-Wish, not tragic ones. And second is that Make-A-Wish Oklahoma is its own separate 501c3, and we love the national organization. They do great branding. They do great standards. But we eat what we kill here in the state. We raise all our money here and we spend it exclusively only on Oklahoma kids.
So you raise your money here in the state of Oklahoma among those of us who are listeners, and then the value goes to the kids in our community in the state of Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
And what you're also saying is it's not always a death wish. Sometimes it could be. But in many cases, it's a celebration or it's a part of their recovery. It's something special that becomes part of their life.
There was a Tulsa boy that was national news. He finished his chemo treatment. He went and rang the bell in the weight room. He got mauled by his teammates, and he knew that in 2 days he was off to Coachella to see Beyonce and all his favorite bands and go in their trailers. And I mean, he was counting down chemo treatments to when he could actually go start the next chapter in his life. There's nothing but happy there.
Now, you used a phrase. You said, we eat what we kill. So in other words, you've got to raise all your money. You go with a absolutely zero budget at the beginning of the year. You raise all your funds, and those are the funds that you've got available to make a wish happen for some young person in our community. Tell me about the fundraising process.
So we're a little exceptional in that our staff and our board doesn't do our budgeting that way. We look at what we need to do, how many wishes we've got to get to, and then we peg a number to it, and we go get that. We don't think how much we can raise and how many wishes will that fund. We say we have 304 kids waiting right now for a wish.
Now, you've got real exceptional experience on dealing with the board, and later in the show I want to ask you questions about the board, because I know the listening population, there's a lot of people that listen to us that are on boards, and then there's those that have boards of directors that they leverage. Tell me about the communication process between you and your board when you're wanting to go out and raise money. Tell me about that. You've got a goal. You set a goal and you say, this is what we need to achieve this year.
Well, and that's trickier than maybe you'd think at first blush, because I have 16 bosses and they have 16 different levels of how much information they want. Do they want electronically? Do they want it visually? Do they want to raise the money? Do they want to deliver the mission? So it's finding out what each person's preferences are. But it is a matter of my board saying, the number of kids that we're finding, the success we're having in the medical community of informing social workers and doctors what qualifies for a wish means we're getting a lot of referrals. But those don't come with funding. And the board understands that they are partners of mine and my staff in having tentacles out of the community and being proud of the fact that they sit on our board and being very vocal about sitting on our board.
Give me a sense of the size of the need in our community. Within the state of Oklahoma, how many requests for a Make-A-Wish do you see in a given year? Or what's in the backlog?
Okay, so the epidemiologists tell us that probably between 330 and 350 kids in Oklahoma each year get a diagnosis. You know, it's hard to imagine there's 350 families in our state that have that phone call coming next year that nobody wants. And so then those, we're not finding all those kids. We're missing some. Maybe their doctor thinks it's just for terminal kids, or maybe the doctor doesn't understand that this condition qualifies for a wish. So we're actively out trying to find these kids and make sure that every kid, regardless of his address or situation, is getting a wish. But last year, we could only fund 156. This year, we're going to try to do 170. But if you do that math, that means kids are waiting too long to get their wish. And the more we tell our story, the more money we raise, the more wishes, the you know, kids wait less long. It's gross, but it's just really simple.
What are the most successful elements, how you go about fundraising? Where does the money come from? Where's the greatest opportunity for you to go and attract funds from people to support this endeavor?
So ironically, the single greatest opportunity is happening right now, you know, this time of year with KRMG and our Stories of Light, where we feature wish stories, and people come by La Fortune and support us. And last year, with Dan Potter's help, we raised $300,000. So when you say that Tulsa is one of the most giving communities, doesn't surprise me. It's the biggest fundraiser we have in the whole state by double.
You were telling me not long ago that there was somebody that just popped by that dropped off $10 or $20, I think you said, and it was a big sacrifice for this individual.
A woman with tears in her eyes, and I got a sense that she probably could have used that $20. But she made a mention that she had healthy grandkids, and that was just her way of being grateful for that.
That's fantastic. You know, Dan Potter does an amazing amount of work for the community. He's just absolutely a fantastic person. And I know he's out there, and you're going to be out there all this week. We're going to be coming back right after the break, and I want to talk about ways that people can continue to find a way to give should they not be able to get over to La Fortune. I also want to share with you, or get you to share some of your insights about how to manage a board well. So we're going to come back in just a moment. You're listening to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski, and this is KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. We're with our special guest, Brad Bargles. Brad is the Chief Executive Officer and President of the Oklahoma Make-A-Wish Foundation, a fantastic person who's been in nonprofit, helping people all over the state and around the country the majority of his career. Brad, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you were telling me earlier that you grew up in Iowa, even born in Oklahoma, but you went to OU.
I did.
So you're a Sooner.
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. And you also said you – did you go to OU to play football?
I thought I could play football at OU. It turns out being All-State in Iowa and All-State in Texas are two completely different things.
Okay. Well, it's quite a task to play and to play well at OU, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I came in with Bosworth and Marcus Dupree and Spencer Tillman, and they were men, and I was a boy. And the coaches said, you might want to rethink this.
You might want to do something different. So my understanding is that you went into corporate America and you went into finance.
I did. I was out of school. I was with E.F. Hutton and then with Smith Barney.
And what was the point at which you decided, you know what, I'm going to do something different? Tell me about that a moment.
I was making great money, but I wasn't my health wasn't good. I didn't feel good, and I just thought I'm going to be a wealthy corpse at 40, and none of it mattered. So I just thought I would take a single year off and do something good that I felt good about and then get back in the market. And that was 30 years ago.
So you took that 1 year off and you never went back.
That's right.
Well, we're glad that you're with Make-A-Wish.
Thank you.
So Make-A-Wish is a very special organization. It's an organization that provides wishes for children in the state of Oklahoma who are sick.
Critically
ill.
Not terminally
ill. Not necessarily dead. They could be, right. But... not necessarily terminally.
Correct.
So you do some real value to the patient, to the child. But tell me about the family members.
The doctors that we work with, incidentally, St. Francis is responsible for about 45% of the referrals we get. So their whole system is dialed into Make-A-Wish, and they know exactly how this works. They know when in a kid's treatment to tell them, "Hey, you're going to get a wish." It is when you're immersed in the world of chemotherapy and treatments and surgeries, and there's no end to it. I know, you know, we often hear people say, "Oh, I'm grateful for my kids or my grandkids are healthy and there, but for the grace of God." And they think about the diagnosis. I don't think people often think about the grind, month after month, year after year, staring at the ceiling every night, terrified, feeling helpless, exhausted in every sense of the word. And then this breath of fresh air comes in. And, you know, this hits siblings, too. Siblings miss practices and recitals and can't have friends over because of immune issues. And, I mean, this something like this, a diagnosis like this hits a whole family. But so does a wish. I had a person today said, I was sitting on an airplane next to a wish family. And first the boy told me how long he'd been looking forward to this and how excited he was. And then the mom started talking about what it meant to her whole family. And to see people just doing such kindnesses for her son. And to see her son that happy when... it's been a long time since he had that kind of joy. This is a gift you're giving to a kid, to a family, and to a community.
You know, those of us who have ever been in the hospital, we understand the hospital is that's no walk in the park. There's really absolutely nothing really fun about a hospital.
There's 100 reasons that I would come to Make-A-Wish. But number one is the fact that I had a wish come into my life. I have an adult son who, when he was 9 years old, was diagnosed with leukemia. And it was a 3.5 year grind where we almost lost him a couple times. And you just didn't have anything to look forward to. And Make-A-Wish came into our life. It changed him as a patient. It made him work harder at his rehab. It made him eat better. And when we were on our wish, my wife said, look at Hoop's teeth. And I thought he had spinach in it. I'm like, what do you mean, look at his teeth? It's like, I haven't seen his teeth. He's been smiling since we got here. If you could see my wife's face, you'd understand the power of a wish.
Thank you for sharing me with us about that. That's very important. That's very meaningful. You know, my son, when he was born, he had Schoen's complex, which is 3 congenital heart defects at the same time. We spent the first several months of his life in the hospital, you know, open heart surgeries at 5 weeks old, being told he's going to be the smallest kid in his class. He'll be sick all the time. He'll be in and out of the hospital. It's an enormous burden on the family members. And what you're telling me, this is probably the most important thing that I've ever gotten out of our friendship, is you said the diagnosis hits for the family, but so does the wish. That was beautifully put. I don't know if you've copywritten that phrase, but that is it. And that is the statement. The wish helps the family. It impacts the family.
We had a wish, and it was a rush wish, and you can probably infer what that means. But a boy wanted to go have another fishing trip with his dad, his brother. And when people say it's so sad what I do, that child was going to pass away very soon. But he had a great week fishing with his pals. And his brother and his dad forever will have that memory instead of just staying at home and watching the hospice process play out. To me, that's happy. That's joy. The child was going to pass anyway. But the joy we gave them, the memories we gave those family members, if I could go find the donors that made that wish possible and tell them that story, they'd say that's the best dollar I ever spent.
Now, you've got two kinds of donors. You've got the kind of donor that drives by the Fortune Park and gives money or writes a big check, or maybe it's a board member that really believes in this. Maybe it's somebody that really is philanthropic and can give a lot of money. But you also have in-kind donations and significant ones. Is that correct? Tell me about the in-kind.
That's right. And I want to correct something I said. We do, this is our biggest fundraiser, but this is not how we make our money. We make our money $20 and $50 and $100 at a time. This is exceptional and it's unique. One way that people can help us is through a program we have called Wishes in Flight. Our second biggest expense is airline miles. And we just had a board member launch a program for us with a gift of 250,000 miles. And that's money that we can save for the next wish. Oklahoma was singled out nationally recently because we're such good stewards of their dollars, of our donor dollars, that about 60, 62 cents of every wish we get done through in-kind goods and services. That means we can fund twice as many wishes as we're actually financially capable of. And that's where people in the community get involved. We have a she shed wish right now. A girl wants a pottery studio in a she shed in her backyard. And if we can put the word out on that, somebody's going to say, I'm live in the pottery world. I can get you a wheel. I can get you. I don't even know what you need for a she shed with a pottery studio. But if we have people that are standing by for their expertise to be tapped, that's why we get so much in-kind goods and services.
That's amazing. You know, we talk on the show all the time about leverage. Leverage is a very important gift or tool to be used by a business owner, is the ability to use what existing resources already exist and not try to recreate the whole wheel. You know, it's so amazing that you get so many in-kind gifts, because that's an individual that's already got the equipment. They've got trucks and machinery, and they've got building supplies, and they've got maybe a pottery wheel, and they've got it right there available, and they can immediately move to help you make more wishes occur.
And there's not a dental office or insurance agency in a state that couldn't fund a wish, that couldn't adopt a wish over the course of a year and make it happen. I had a board member who felt blessed and who believed in what we do and said that he wanted to adopt a wish. He wanted to give his employees a chance to do it as well. And they raised a remarkable amount of money. I think even he was surprised. People want to support this, and it doesn't have to be dollar donations. There's lots of ways. They can be wish granters.
So walk me through that. Let's say I'm a business owner.
That's right.
And we're very charitable, and we're engaged in a lot of activities. But like I say, whenever you take your team and you rally them around a single point of giving, you've really done something special to your organization. So we've talked about this, that there's selfishness, but there's self-interest. And at some point, enlightened self-interest is the ability to say, this is really good for us too. We can rally a team together within our organization, raise money, and it's not only good for Make-A-Wish Foundation, it's good for my company too. It helps me hold on to good employees, helps me motivate people, get excited. What should I be thinking as a budget of the amount of money I want to raise in cash, not in kind services yet, but in cash? What would I be thinking about?
Roughly $7,500. Now that factors in all of our expense. That's the most transparent number we can put forward, but that's not our cash cost on a wish because we're getting 60 cents of it donated. But to adopt a wish, company set out to raise $7,500 over the course of a year.
That's great. You know, that's not an unrealistic expense.
So let's go back to my story. So this board member of mine invites his partners, his vendors and his suppliers to come meet some Wish families. Just meet them and hear from them what does Wish mean. And they gave so gladly. They came prepared to give. They came with checks in hand because they believe in Make-A-Wish, but they haven't ever been asked by Make-A-Wish. And every time a business, small business or a Rotary group or something adopts a Wish, they're just moving the ball forward. We'll get to the next kid faster and the next kid faster.
It's exceptional to think about. You know, I travel so much. I'm on a plane all the time. In fact, I was supposed to be in North Dakota this week, and I'm so glad I'm not in North Dakota. But I have so many miles, and I don't want to travel anymore. I'm already on the road all the time. I want to stay home. I want to walk around in my grass and pet my dog and go to the lake. You know, so there are a lot of people like me, I'm sure, sitting on just thousands of miles that they would love to be able to give. If they want to give, how do they give? Should I give them the phone number?
Different airlines have different systems, and so we want to walk through. We don't want to know what airline they're talking about before we give them any instructions. So really, be calling the Make-A-Wish office.
Okay, so the Make-A-Wish office here in town, 918-332-1624, and they could call and get somebody on the line to help them.
Right, and take the miles example. We have say there's a family of five, and they want to go see Pearl Harbor because grandfather fought there. That, I mean, you know, when you give these miles, something very specific like that's going to happen. It's not theoretical. It's not funding research. There's a family at the other end of what you're doing.
We're going to come right back with more with Brad. This has been amazing. Brad, I'm so grateful that you're here. This is the Mind Your Business Show. You're listening to us on KRMG. Welcome back to the Mind Your Business Show. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Lewandowski. We've got a special show today. We're talking about children all over the state of Oklahoma that are getting help through the Make-A-Wish Foundation by the kind gifts of people just like you, the entrepreneurs, the business leaders, the important and generous people. You know, and we're talking about this. It's not just the big givers. It's the little givers. It's the $5, the $10, the person that can afford $1 per paycheck to give as part of a team goal within an organization. You know, not long ago, we had Chris Meyer from Turner Roofing on the show, and he was talking about his team came together to make a wish, and people were given $1, $5, $10, out of their check. And what's happened now is they're rallied together as a better team. You know, one of the problems I've got as a business leader is I've got turnover. And if I lose a nurse or a pharmacist or a good call center person, you know how much it costs me to find a new one? And do you know how little it takes to rally my team as a leader around something special that makes my employees want to stay longer, to be a part of something bigger than themselves, to be better than just a call center or a service provider? You know, doing these kinds of things are important to your business. It's called enlightened self-interest. It's very valuable. You know, we've got a very special guest, a friend of mine named Brad. He's the chief executive officer and president of the Make-A-Wish Foundation in the state of Oklahoma. And earlier, Brad, and I want you to touch on this, you said we make our money. And that's really interesting because you're unlike a for-profit business in which they make money and keep it. Your goal is to raise money and spend every dollar of it.
So delta is the word of the day, right? Everybody talks about their delta and how do we create a big gap between what we bring in and what we expend. I have a very simple delta. A perfect delta for me is $1. My goal is to raise just $1 more than I spent and cycle everything we raise back into wishes. There is no rainy day fund. This is about If we have enough for 170 wishes, let's get to 175. And if we get there, let's get to 180. Because these are not numbers, they're kids. And my staff internalizes that. Our board, it's real to them. They've seen the kids. They talk to them. And it's we take it very seriously.
There's somebody out there listening in there saying, you know, my gift just wouldn't make that big an impact. Or they've got enough resources and they're taking care of. But there's a backlog, isn't there? There are children that their gift is not available yet because there are only so many resources.
That's right. We should be in a position to give a wish when it's best, when the doctor says it's best and the kid and the family's ready for that wish. We're not there right now. If everybody that would give to this organization in a manner that they could, if they'd learn more about it, they would never question where it's going. I put Real Wish families in front of the people that raise the money. You mentioned Chris Meyer, Turner Roofing. They've met our families. It's not an abstract notion. It's Marshall, and it's Katie. They've met them. They've looked in their eyes. They talked about their wish. That's what we do for our donors. We want to make it real because we want them to come back next year and do another wish, or maybe two.
You know, you mentioned earlier, and I want to go to a little business concept because it's very important in our show that we really provide a lot of value. And one of the values that you provide is you mentioned that you've got 16 board members.
That's right.
That is a real challenge, and communication is very important. You've made it very clear about what the job is of the board members. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I think the board is there for some, you know, practical reasons to make sure we're in compliance and accountability and things like that. But it's also about extending us out into communities and their circles of influence. Everybody has groups that they run with and civic groups and maybe faith communities and employees. And a board member for Make-A-Wish Oklahoma is loud and proud about the fact that they're with Make-A-Wish Oklahoma. There's a lot of great causes out there. And they want to be out there explaining how real this need is and how easy it is to meet it if people get together. But in terms of nonprofit board management, I think there's always a question as to what is our role, what is the role with the staff, and I think I had a board member one time say, I think the board should have their hands off and their noses in. And I said, I bet if you ask my staff, they'd say, get your noses out, get your hands in. Very different perspective.
That's right.
But you know, a board essentially is to keep that chapter in compliance and above board and transparent, to raise money, to manage the CEO, and to create the strategic plan so that all 16 of those people and the entire staff is all chasing the same goal and the same dream. Beyond that, the board should always be a wind at the back of a nonprofit. It should never be a headwind.
We're talking today with the Chief Executive Officer and President of the Oklahoma Make-A-Wish Foundation. And we've been talking, for those of you who might have just joined us, we're talking about a very special organization, an organization that finds children that are going through a very significant disease state, and they make wishes happen. The physician, the community of physicians make recommendations that this is a good time for this person to get a wish. And really, it might be based on not just that person, but the person and the family. Because as we were talking, Brad, you and I, how demanding it is when you've got a child that has got the debilitating disease state. It's so difficult on the family, and all you're looking for is a breath of fresh air, a beam of light that says there's hope, there's excitement, there's something to look forward to. A moment ago, you said that at one point in your son's life, when he found out that he had a wish, he worked harder at his recovery, he accepted his chemo better, he had a better smile, he ate better. It's an amazing impact what you do.
It's medicinal. It's literally medicine, and our doctors will tell you that emphatically. It is, when they have a wish in their hip pocket, it is literally medicine for that kid.
I want to thank you so much for being here. This has been a marvelous time for us to share with you. And I want to encourage everybody else, if you're listening to the show and you're thinking, we would like to do something as an organization, my company that you own or you run, you control, I'd like to do something special. I want you to get in touch with Make-A-Wish. Let them know you're going to do something. Find out if you've got in-kind services, airline miles, or resources. So you'd like to do something, reach out to him at 918-322-1624, or you can look them up at oklahoma.wish.org and do something. Let's all do something great. You've been listening to the Mind Your Business Show on KRMG. I'm your host and very happy to be it, Mark Lewandowski.